This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called Toolbox for Life. In this series, Pastor Rick teaches you four skills you need to succeed, skills that will equip you to be more effective as you lead in your home, work, school, and community. In just a bit, we're going to let you know how you can get the Toolbox for Life DVD study kit. This kit features four video lessons by Pastor Rick and is perfect for your solo Bible study or for use with a small group. Go to PastorRick.com while you listen today to find out more. Or you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the final part of a message called Ignoring the Naysayers.
Let me just ask you this question. Who am I allowing to play God in my life? Who are you allowing to play God in your life? There's a word for that. It's called idolatry. You've made somebody's opinion an idol. And you're not going to be all God wants you to be. They may be good, but they're not God. Okay, number two. Second thing David did, and you got to do this too, if you're going to ever be a leader, if you're going to succeed in life, don't get distracted by the negativity, by the people who say it can't be done, by the people who tell you you're not the person, you're the wrong guy, you're the wrong woman. Don't get distracted. Good illustration of this is the story of Nehemiah in the Bible. Nehemiah was not a pastor. He was not a priest. He was a businessman. And Israel had been taken captive by the Babylonians. You know where that is, Iraq. They moved them over there for 70 years. And after 70 years, they let them go back home. When they went back home, the city of Jerusalem was destroyed. And it was defenseless because all the walls had been torn down. Nehemiah got a big idea. Businessman said this. I'm going to rebuild my city. I'm going to start with rebuilding the wall for the protection of our city. Businessman goes, I'm going to rebuild our city. It's crumbling. It's falling apart. And we'll start with the wall. Now, of course, there was an instant opposition because the enemies of Israel and Jerusalem certainly didn't want them to be defendable. So they're trying to oppose them. Would you write this down? Every opportunity comes with opposition. You can count on that one in life. As a leader, you realize that every opportunity comes with opposition. I've never done anything in my life that wasn't opposed by somebody. With every opportunity comes opposition. Opportunity plus opposition equals God's will. So Nehemiah's enemies are trying to do everything they can to stop the rebuilding of the wall around Jerusalem by this godly, good businessman. And the first thing the enemies try is they try ridicule. And people will try to use ridicule in your life to stop you from doing stuff. And they tried to use ridicule. That didn't work. So then the second thing they tried was rumors. And people will do that in your life to stop you. They'll spread rumors about you at work. They'll spread rumors about you on the internet. They'll spread rumors about you to try to stop you. That didn't work. So then they actually threatened Nehemiah. And they said, you know, if you keep this project up, we're going to kill you. Now we're getting serious. But that didn't stop Nehemiah. He was diligent, determined, and he's not distractible. And so he said, try it. I'm just going to keep doing what I know God's told me to do. And finally, but when they couldn't use rumor or ridicule or threats, they said, let's just slow him down with discussion. Let's just see if he'll meet with us and just discuss it. Now, they didn't really want anything to happen except the discussion to slow down the project. And four times they come back to Nehemiah and they keep saying, hey, come on, let's just talk about this. And here was Nehemiah's response there on your outline, verse 3 and 4 of Nehemiah 6. So I replied to these enemies by sending this message to them. I'm doing a great work. I'm doing a great work. I can't stop to come and meet with you. In other words, why would I allow myself to be distracted? Four times they sent the same message. Notice how persistent they are. And each time I gave them the same reply. I'm doing a great work. I don't have time to discuss it with you. Now, I want to warn you that this trap of this being getting distracted is even bigger today because of a thing called the internet. Are any of you familiar with this? Yeah. Can you get distracted by the internet? Oh, yeah. And there are plenty of naysayers online who would love to just hook you into an argument. And all they want to do is just get you in a discussion. And their whole identity is in trolling for people that they can hook into arguments. And they get their joys out of being angry. And so, you know, Billy Graham told me one time, he said, you can wrestle with a pig, but only one of you is going to enjoy it. And it's true. If you want to go take on these trolls who are just negative about everything and negative about what you believe and negative about what you do, well, you're just going to waste your time. You do not have to defend everything you do. You don't have to defend everything you believe to every troll out there on the internet. Who cares what they think? Anyway, now, I know I'm digging a little deep here for some of you, but some of you have the personality that you cannot stand to be misunderstood. And you just feel you have to correct it because you can't think possible that anybody in the universe might misunderstand you. And so you feel duty-bound to explain everything you believe and everything you do, and you actually think that people who oppose you, that it's just a matter of misunderstanding, and that if you would just were able to explain it to them very clearly, then obviously they would go, oh, thank you, you're right. And you have this feeling that if I just explain what I'm doing, then this person who's negative about it will all of a sudden become positive about it. They'll agree with you. No, they won't. I hate to bust your bubble, but they won't. Because most of the time, all of us, every human being, uses what's called motivated reasoning. You use it about 95% of the time. I do. Everybody does. Motivated reasoning is based on emotion, not based on logic. You think you're logical. You're not nearly as logical as you think you are. You make decisions emotionally, and then you look for logic to back it up. People do this with accepting Jesus Christ. They have an emotional fear of accepting Christ, and then they look for logical reasons to back it up. But the real reason is emotional. It's emotional. It's a fear. It's a fear of loss of control. It's a fear I'll lose my freedom. It's a fear, are you kidding? Who do you think created you? But we make emotionally based decisions, motivated reasoning. And if somebody doesn't want to like you, they're just not going to like you. Some people don't want to like you. Hate to tell you that. And all the explanations that you give is not going to change their mind. In fact, if somebody has three reasons you're wrong and three reasons they don't like you, and then all of a sudden you show them how logically those reasons are wrong, it doesn't make them happy. It makes them madder. And all of a sudden, they have to go find three other reasons because you've just blown that. And you actually made them mad, more mad, because you have exposed that they'd made a decision based on emotion, not based on logic. Some misunderstandings about you, not everybody's going to understand you. And some misunderstandings that people have about you are not going to be corrected until we get to heaven. In heaven, it's all going to be laid out. All the truth will be made plain, your motivations, your reasons, and all that kind of stuff. It'll be plain to everybody. And that's why Jesus said this, Matthew 10, verse 26. Don't be intimidated by these naysayers. Eventually, everything's going to be out in the open, and everyone will know how things really are. So just have the faith to wait for that day. Don't feel like you have to spend all your time defending why you do what you do or what you do or who you say it to or what you believe. You don't. You don't. One day, it'll all come out. Everybody's going to know how things really are. Have the faith to wait for the day. And really, what matters is not what other people think of you. It's only what matters is what God thinks of you. Okay, number three. The third key. Realize they're not God. Don't get distracted. Number three, never attack back. Never, 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 never attack back to a naysayer. Just leave it all in God's hands. Don't be a smart mouth. Don't be sarcastic. Don't retaliate. Now, let me show you some verses on this. Let's read Proverbs 11, 12 aloud together. Read it with me. It is foolish to speak scornfully of others. Oh, stop right there. It's foolish to speak scornfully of others. Then God would consider a lot of people on the internet fools, because they're speaking scornfully all the time about others. People of other political persuasions, people of other religions, people who have other music tastes, people who don't like the sports team you like. It says there, it is foolish to speak scornfully of others. If you're smart, you will keep what? Yeah, quiet, quiet. So as I said, God would say there are a lot of foolish people in the world, and particularly on the internet, and if I join those people in dissing somebody else, I'm a fool. At that moment, I'm a fool. It is foolish. I am a fool when anytime I speak scornfully about anybody. There's no wiggle room in that verse, and I could show you 20 or 30 others that say the same thing. So just put a zipper on your mouth and stop speaking scornfully of other people, even when they attack you. Now, let me give you a little secret. Some of those naysayers in your life who tell you it can't be done, who are negative all the time, who don't, they're always commenting on your marriage and your looks and your kids and everything, you know, whatever. Those people, some of them are not that bright. They aren't. They're just not that bright. It's any fool can criticize. It takes genius to build a building. Any fool can criticize it. It takes genius to create a piece of art. Any fool can criticize it. It's a genius to make a great movie. Any fool can. You can teach a chimpanzee to criticize. So he's saying here, don't attack back. Some of these naysayers in your life, they're not that bright, and you, with your brilliant wit, could put them in their place quite quickly. Don't. Don't. Sometimes I'll hear somebody will say something about me, and I think, oh man, I could shoot that one down fast enough. And I have this little witty repartee that I could give back that would just slay them, but I never, never use it. Never. Why? Because the Bible says don't retaliate. The key is to respond like Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2 says this. When they hurled their insults at Jesus, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats back. Instead, he entrusted himself to him, this is God, to God who judges justly. I want you to write this down on your outline. I am most like Jesus when I stay silent under attack. I am most like Jesus when I stay silent under attack. And I just put it in the hands of God and realize one day it's all going to even out. God's going to settle the score. The truth will come out. All the nasty stuff that's been said about you that's false will be worthless. And what will matter is what God said about you. And actually, when you respond the way Jesus, your critics, your attackers, your naysayers actually help you. Let me show you how this works. You're trying to do the right thing. Somebody criticizes you from the outside for your motivation or your method or whatever. And instead of you retaliating, you say, God bless you. Go in peace. May God graciously give you his grace. And then you know what happens? God goes, that's my boy. That's my girl. And he gives you more power. He gives you more anointing. And so the way you get more power, more anointing, more blessing in your life is refuse to retaliate. And then actually those negative people actually help you because God sees you're responding in the right way and he just gives you more blessings. I can trust that guy with more blessing. I can trust that woman with more blessing. I'm most like Jesus when I stay silent under attack. Number four, fourth thing is stay focused on God and his promises. Don't focus on the problem. Don't focus on the people. Don't focus on the naysayers. Stay focused on God and his promises. Become a promise person. Learn the promises of the Bible. There's about 7,000 of them in the Bible. Promises of God to you. 1 Samuel chapter 30 says this, verse 6. Bitter people spoke against David and talked of stoning him. This is later on in life when he is king. Bitter people spoke of David and talked of stoning him, but David found his strength in the television. David found strength where? In the Lord. In the Lord. When somebody's being a naysayer, you don't go gossip about them to somebody else in the office. You just find your strength in the Lord. So, Lord, I know you love me. I know you have a plan for my life. I'm going to trust you. Look at these last verses. Psalm 118, verse 6, David says, "The Lord is for me. The Lord is for me, so I won't be afraid. What could mere mortals do to me?" You know what? People can dislike you, and it won't harm you. You need to understand this. You don't need anybody else's approval to be happy. And you're probably not going to get it if you haven't got it by now. You don't need anybody's approval to be happy. You're as happy as you choose to be. You don't need your parents' approval, your brother's approval, your sister's approval, some friend's approval. You're as happy as you choose to be. It says, "The Lord's for me. I'm not going to be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" They have their opinions. So what? Psalm 119, 41 and 42. "Show me," David prays, "how much you love me, Lord." You love me, Lord. So it doesn't matter if somebody else doesn't love me. "Show me how much you love me, Lord, and save me according to your promise." Have you been saved? God has a promise to save you. He says, "Save me according to your promise. Then I can answer those who insult me because I trust in your word." Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "I've banked your promises in the vault of my heart." That's what you need to do. Instead of banking all the negative things people have said about you in your heart or in your mind, you need to bank the promises of God in your heart and in your mind. What God says about you is what matters, and the other doesn't. Now, David says, "Save me according to your promise." Have you been saved? What is the promise of God? The promise of God is this, Romans 10, 13. "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." That's promise. Have you ever called on the name of the Lord? If you haven't done it, you need to do so right now. Let's bow our heads and close. And if you call in the name of the Lord, you will be saved. So why don't you pray in your heart? Say, "I don't know what to pray." Well, I'll pray a little prayer and you can follow me in this. Just say, "Me too, God." I just say, "God, I realize I can't save myself." Just say, "God, I realize I can't save myself. I can't forgive my own sins. I can't even solve my own problems. So I need you to save me. Jesus Christ, you came at Christmas to be the Savior of the world. So as much as I know how, I say, Jesus Christ, I ask you to be my Savior. Be my manager. Call the shots in my life. Help me to care more about what you think and say than what the naysayers think and say. Dear God, give me your vision and purpose and dream for my life. Jesus Christ, fill my life with love so that I don't react to all of the naysayers and all the negativity around me. Make me a positive person with your love, Jesus Christ. Come in and save me today. I humbly ask this as authentically as I know how. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. Hi, everybody. This is Rick, and I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, Rick, at PastorRick.com and say, "Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ." And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus. And I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We hope you've enjoyed today's lesson. If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, please feel free to send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time today, but first, the truth is, sincere desire and determination alone are not enough to succeed in life. Many people will work hard, but it's not all about working hard. It's all about working God's way. And the Bible is full of instruction to help us. That's why Pastor Rick put together Toolbox for Life, a 4-session video study kit to help you discover and develop 4 essential success-building skills found in the Bible. Skills that will equip you to be more effective as you lead in your home, work, school, and community. When you give a gift to support the Ministry of Daily Hope, we'll send you the Toolbox for Life study kit, complete with a 4-session DVD and a workbook, to say thanks for partnering with Pastor Rick to take the certain hope of Jesus to people around the world. Be sure to request the Toolbox for Life study kit when you give a gift today. It's perfect for both personal and small group study time. Get yours right now by going to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick with 2 R's in the middle, .com. Or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Today I want to tell you about Diana. Diana's a nurse, and she helps people every single day when they're facing their most difficult times. Diana wrote me this: "Listening to Daily Hope has not only helped me face challenges in my journey as a new nurse, but it's also provided me words of hope to impact the lives of all my patients and even their families. The toughest thing most of us deal with is the loss of a loved one, and learning more about God's love through Daily Hope has allowed me to share with many, many people about the hope and the trust and the love that we can find in our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm thankful to God for using you as an instrument for bringing me and many others to a daily hope in Jesus." Well, Diana, I just can't thank you enough for writing me. I love receiving these testimonial letters. I'm glad that your patients and their families that you take care of have somebody like you to walk with them through the tough times they go through when they are ill. Thank you so much for sharing God's promises with the people as they face their difficulties and even death. I want you to know that the promises of God are the best news that we can receive ever during our times of illness. And Daily Hope is here to support you in your ministry to others. God bless you.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, you can write him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.